throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast. For salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry. I think the New Living Translation says his masterpiece. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Amen. And, you know, from time to time, I like to remind myself where I've come from and where I am now, thanks to God. And, you know, some of you, particularly if you've been raised by Christian parents, you probably can't think particularly of a time, perhaps before you knew Jesus Christ, and when your life was characterised by rebellious actions and stuff. But some of us can. Some of us, you know, maybe came to the Lord a bit older in life, and we can definitely identify a change that came about. And it's just so good to remember that when we were at our worst, God loved us his best. Amen. You know, when we were, you know, in as much sin as we could get ourselves into, like the prodigal son, God was giving his son to die for us. And through him coming alive again, like we've been singing this morning, we came alive too. And we're seated with him now in the heavenly, in the supernatural dimension. And another thing I like about this passage is it's not all about me, 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 me. It's all about we. And God's brought us into a family. God's brought us into a community that all share this same amazing rescue from Jesus and the same amazing destiny. That we are his masterpieces and we are called to fulfill the destiny that he's prepared for each one of us. And we can't do it on our own. We are part of a body. I can only fulfill my destiny as part of you fulfilling your destiny. God's, you know, Ephesians 4, a couple of chapters later, it talks about the connections in the body and that we grow as we each do our part. So I was thinking today, of sharing today, you know, what is our purpose on this earth? Because we've all given our lives to Jesus Christ. We all say that he's the King, he's the Master, he's the Lord of our lives. We know we're going to be going to heaven. And you know, we've been singing about heaven again this morning. So why doesn't God just take us to heaven right now where it's perfect, no problems, no aches, pains, no lack, no strife, no persecution? Why not? Because God has a job for us to do. And let's just look at the task, the main purpose that Jesus has left us on this earth to accomplish. Something we are familiar with, Mark chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples just before he went back to heaven, he said in verse 14, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that's the good news about him, to every creature, that's every human being. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So the only reason anyone will go to hell is if they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They're choosing their own destiny. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. Who's going to lay hands on the sick? Amen. We are. If we believe the gospel, tell the person next to you, you will lay hands on the sick. And Jesus said they will recover. Praise God. So those of us who live in families of Christians, if any of us are sick, that's a good opportunity to practice. Lay hands on them and command healing to come and tell them you're going to recover. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus said to us, this is to us too, because it's come down through 2,000 years, generation after generation of Christians, until the message got to you and me, go and proclaim the good news to everyone. Well, how do you actually do that? Jesus gave a bit more detail in Matthew chapter 28. So let's look at, this is our assignment. I don't think I've ever seen any of the Mission Impossible films, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that have, that it says, you know, this is your mission should you choose to accept it. And this is your, but this is the mission Jesus has given us. And he said in Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing? You know, you think if you had watched Jesus die on the cross and then you met him on top of a mountain and he was alive and you could see the holes, the scars from the nails in his hands and feet, that some of them were actually doubting, is this real? Is this really Jesus? So, and yet Jesus said to them, Jesus it wasn't put off by their doubts, Jesus said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So as how we proclaim the gospel to people is by making disciples of people. And how do we make disciples? Well, Jesus showed us how we make disciples. Is it primarily by coming to a Sunday church service or other church meetings? Those things are good. In fact, they're necessary. The Bible encourages us to keep meeting together with the believers. But that's not the main way we make disciples. Is it going to Bible school? I went to Bible school in Sweden many years ago, lived there for a year. Some of us, I think, may have been to Caris Bible College. That is not the primary way we make disciples. Bible colleges are good, and if God leads you to go there, that's great. But that's not the main way we make disciples. What about going to conferences? I enjoyed listening to a couple of messages from Grace and Faith this week. They're great, they encourage us, but they're not the main way of us making disciples. What about TV messages? I enjoyed watching Joseph Prince on TV this week with my parents. They watch him twice every day on TVN. And I enjoy listening to podcasts. I was listening to Cesar Kalinowski. I really like his podcast every week. These things are all good, they're all helpful, but they're not the main way that we make disciples. So Jesus showed us how we make disciples. He could have started a Bible school, he could have held lots of conferences. What he did was he prayed and he invited 12 people to come into his life and live with him. He shared his life with them, he shared his time with them, he shared his energy, his daily conversations, where wherever they went, we've been talking about whatever they wanted to talk about. They could ask him anything they wanted to ask him. No question was off limits. And they asked him some pretty stupid questions, didn't they, his 12 disciples. He shared his meals with them. If he got invited to a wedding, they'd all go to the wedding together, the parties and celebrations together. He shared his generosity with them. So if they didn't have any food and they were hungry, he would feed them. He would help them catch fish. He shared his social activities with them. He shared his rest with them. When he needed a rest, he would take them with him. And they'd go on holiday together. And they'd do, you know, relaxing things together. And he did that for 3.5 years. He intentionally invested in those people to such an extent that when he left the earth, they succeeded in what they were called to do. And the same principle, that's the way Jesus wants us to make disciples. He wants us to grow as disciples, and he wants us to be influencing other people. And we can all make disciples, from the youngest one in this room, I don't know if it's Bucci or Robert, but it must be Bucci, to the oldest of us, and I don't care who's the oldest of us, because who cares about that? We can all make disciples. Jesus did go to synagogue every week. It was his habit, his custom, but that wasn't the way he made disciples. So I've been thinking about, you know, a future direction of the church in this context. And what you do say, I think the closest example we can have to make disciples is family and parenting. So parents are discipling their children. You eat meals together, you stay together in the same house, you go play, wherever you go, you generally go together, you do fun things together. When it's tough, you go through those tough times together. And it says in the Word, doesn't it, parents, raise up, train up your child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. And, you know, one reason I'm following Jesus as closely as I am is because my parents and the way they raised me, and I saw their example living, I lived 18 years growing up with them in their home. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is what God tells us, told parents to do. And we can apply this spiritually to people we're discipling as well. He said in Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 21, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie my words as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach my words to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So what you could say here is when you're sitting around your table eating, when you're lounging on your sofa at home, when you're driving in your car, God says, talk about me, talk about my words, ask each other questions, talk about what it means to trust God. He says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And that was an amazing promise in the Old Testament there, that God said, if you will faithfully pass on my words to the next generation and live it out 24/7 in your homes and in your family lives, then you'll be blessed as long as the heavens are above the earth. You'll just keep generation to generation or just living those blessings. So, you know, I've just got this little PowerPoint that we've used in the past. Let's start it here. This is switched on and working. I've used this in the past. And maybe this battery's flat. Oh no, it is working. So thinking about how we've had a vision to pursue this, our vision's been to receive all we can of God's love and give away all we can to people of peace by living as God's family on mission. And we looked at the three dimensions, up, in and out, that we need to be receiving from God, his love and his truth through his word. Living out in the in dimension as family on mission, and then giving it out to people of peace in the out dimension. And it's a challenge to live a healthy three-dimensional life as a Christian. You know, we go through different seasons. You know, I've had a challenging year with various reasons, but it's I've had less opportunity to go in the out dimension and minister out to people. And also, it's been tougher for me to meet up with others as much as I'd like to in the in-dimension. But, you know, as we remember, Jesus lived a three-dimensional life, up, receiving from his Father and doing whatever his Father showed him, in, living it out with his disciples so they could actually see, to be a doer of the word. You know, Rita was sharing how great it was just to spend 4 days soaking in teaching from God's word, from people who have fivefold ministry gifts as teachers. And, you know, the opportunity then, having done that, is to live that out. How do we live it out? How do we model it? How do we encourage each other to do what God's told us to do? And how do we not just keep this good news to ourselves, but how do we share it with other people? Because we live in a society, we might be one of the richest countries in the world, we might be one of the countries that a lot of people in the world want to come here and live here, but you know, there is a real spiritual famine. And there's a real spiritual desert in the lives of many people in this country. We might have everything, they might have lovely houses and loads of money and material things, but inside there is darkness, there is pain, there is emptiness, and all that goes along with that. So our purpose as a church is to invite other people of peace into the normal rhythms of our family lives, so that we can influence them to believe, follow, and obey Jesus Christ. And to be honest, I've been seeking to live this way for at least 4 or 5 years, and it's hard. It's tough. Because, you know, our culture is a very individualistic culture. It's very kind of segregated. People get in their cliques, and they only tend to hang out with, you know, people they like and want to do that. And we all have challenges. We all have jobs to do. We all have family responsibilities, and living a missional life is not easy, but Jesus, I'm more convinced than ever that this is what God's called us to do. So And thinking about our Sunday meetings as a church, our Sunday meetings and our other meetings are only effective if they're encouraging us to live out a missional life 7 days a week, when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're at home, in our neighbourhoods. And, you know, it's quite different to maybe a traditional church model where you just turn up on a Sunday or to whenever the organised meetings are, you pay your tithes to fund the building and the salaries of full-time staff, and you're following a vision to maybe expand that the pastor is putting forward. To be a missional community church where every one of us is making disciples, but we're doing it together, is very much releasing the fivefold ministry gifts of all of us. And it actually causes you to grow a lot more than if you're just going, perhaps what you might call a consumer model of church, where you go along on a Sunday, you enjoy the teaching, you enjoy the worship, you get blessed, you survive another week, then you go along next Sunday to get a reboost. You know, to grow and mature in Christ, we want to get to the place so we can overcome and we can see God using us on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. And, I've been very encouraged through just listening to a testimony of a guy who was on church with a mega church in Chicago, you know, thousands and thousands of people. He was working 60 or 70 hours a week for this church, and his job was production manager for the Sunday services. So he would be like stage managing them, and he'd be saying, right, to the guy taking the announcements, you know, you've got 25 seconds, and then the worship team are coming on, and cue the lights, cue the smoke, cue the, you know, or whatever special effects. And that was his job. But after doing this for several years, and part of his job was also to go on missions to other countries from that church. And he would spend, say, several weeks of time in South Sudan, where the people, there was a civil war, the people had nothing, no money, they were just, you know, subsistence living. But he says these people got hold of the gospel, and they were living it out 7 days a week, and spreading it around these tribal communities in South Sudan. And then he'd fly back to Chicago, and he'd be working in this amazing multi-million pound building and on a Sunday. But he said, really, this isn't church. This doesn't feel as authentic a Christian experience as what I'm experiencing out in South Sudan with these poverty-stricken tribes people who are living it out. Mm-hmm. And he became dissatisfied. He said, I'm working so many hours for this church, I never see any non-Christians. Me and my wife, his wife was on staff as well. And after a while, he decided he wanted to transition to living more like this missional style. And he ended up moving to another part of the USA with another family. They bought two houses near to each other, and they just started reaching out to the local community and basically grew a church from the grassroots up by living the life and welcome people to their homes for meals, helping people out, doing really a bit like Acts chapter 2. And you know, that's what I feel God is, that's the direction God wants us to go in. No matter what church we're in this country, if we're going to reach this nation, we need every Christian living a missional life as a disciple-making disciple 7 days a week. And when we do gather on Sundays, you know, the purpose should be to equip us to be more effective in doing that, not just to come along and just receive. So, so let's think about our future directions of church. We've been praying about a partnership with Eden, and we're going to have a guy from Eden come and speak here on the 30th of June. So I encourage you to put that date in your diary. It'd be good for as many of us to be there as possible to hear Chipper. Bex, his name is. We also started praying about a possible partnership with Tree of Life. But as I've been praying about these options, what I sense the Lord saying to me is, neither of these options are, you know, an answer in themselves to what God has called us to do and to grow as a church. Because we can't look to Eden or Tree of Life or Kairos Connection to solve the problems our church is facing and to cause it to grow. Really, what God wants us to do is this all to grow in our relationship with Him and in our family, extended family together, so that we are reaching people for Christ and bringing them to Him. And so whatever the future holds for us in this church, and wherever, you know, you may be or we may be next year, my prayer is that we will all be more mature, more fruitful, and more growing in living a missional life in our settings. So I'm just going to share four things that I feel God specifically has been that we can do that I want to put into practice in the coming months, and then we're going to get some feedback 2 weeks ago when we met here for our Bring and Share lunch, I did pass out a kind of feedback sheet that was specifically about the Eden Project, because I met a chipper the following week after that Sunday. And I haven't had any of those sheets back, but I think it would be good when I finish just sharing this morning to just give an opportunity for us each to share briefly what we're sensing God is saying about these things. And we can talk further. So number one thing I feel that God has been speaking to me about is that he wants me to invest more in some of you who may be future leaders of this church, possibly other churches. And so that I'm praying around who, what, when, how. I've had a leaders huddle for a while. So I've had Forsyth and Rita, Jonathan and James in that, and Leroy and Thais. We've been meeting together for a year or so, looking at leadership thing. But I think we need to, what I feel the Lord's saying to me is kind of upper level, be more specific and intentional about investing people who can have a greater role in the leadership of this church. The second thing that the Lord was speaking to us about, some of us met at Rita's house, Regent Forsyth's house, a week before last, is to start a time of weekly prayer for that people who work during the day can come to. So on Tuesday this week, and we want to carry on weekly on a Tuesday evening about 8 o'clock, I think we said, Forsyth, was it? And so on Tuesday this week, 8 o'clock, maybe till 9, we'll certainly pray for an hour, depending on what time we start praying, might finish by 9:30. We're going to encourage people to meet and pray together, and we'll be praying in an up-in-out direction. We'll be listening to what God's saying to us as a church about how we go forward and asking for scriptures and words and pictures. We'll be praying for one another and asking the Lord to give us words of knowledge and prophecy to encourage one another so that we do not grow weary in what we're called to do. And we'll also be praying for our people of peace. I've been praying with some of you regularly for my people of peace over the last year, and I've realised that's kind of waned a bit. I recognise if we're going to see breakthroughs, if we're going to see people we're discipling, people of peace in our lives that we know God's put there because he wants them to come towards faith in Christ, then prayer is essential. That's really going to see where we see the breakthrough. So that's what we'll do on Tuesday evening. We're going to carry on with a weekly Friday afternoon prayer meeting. Realistically, it's happening in term time. So Friday afternoon at Jean's. I know Cliff and Jane and Abby and Coralie and Angie sometimes and others have come along to those on a Friday afternoon. But I think praying around this, praying into us all being disciples who make disciples, that we take the wonderful teaching like grace and faith or wherever you get your teaching from, and that we can put it into practice, we can live it out so that we see other people's lives impacted over the coming months, over the coming year, is very important for us to be praying about that. In Hebrews 10 it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we, it's interesting, this whole passage says we, not me. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And these last two verses are the particular emphasis. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Jesus' return is getting closer, and we need to be actively. In fact, going from glory to glory as we see that approaching. One of the barriers to our healthy growth as believers and as a church is individualism. Only focusing on my own spiritual growth, my knowledge, my health, my financial blessings, my children, my family. And this is a cultural thing. It's part of British culture that's just the way most people roll. But as Christians, we're part of a new family. We're part of a new kingdom. And so we can break down those barriers. And our church has had a real strength of this over the years, going to each other's homes, eating together and supporting one another. I believe there's more to come. God wants to see that grow and increase. You know, we need both covenant and kingdom dimensions in our personal and church life. Covenant is me and God, the new covenant. Kingdom is how do I extend his kingdom to other people? And God wants us to live as an extended family on mission. In Acts chapter 2, you can see that they were meeting as often as they could. They met in homes. They supported each other. If anyone had a need or lack, then they helped each other out. And it's been good to see that happening to a certain extent over the last few months. Coralie's washing machine broke a month ago, and she's been to several of our homes with her washing to use our washing machines. Thank God she's got a brand new washing machine now, so that is sorted. But, you know, practical ways that a great question to ask yourself as a Christian, as a church member, when you hear about other people is, what would a family do? So, you know, if you see someone put a prayer request on the church WhatsApp group, just ask yourself, what would a family do? How would we respond to this if we were a family rather than a traditional church? And so that's the second thing, actually meeting to pray together and encourage each other. And then the third thing is growing missional community and intentionally meeting together to do things together, whether it's eating, whether it's leisure and fun activities, but where we're wanting to invite people in who perhaps don't know Jesus and don't come to church, people of peace. So that was the purpose and intention of our monthly bring and share meal here at 87. But I don't believe that is sufficient. You know, most of us are not bringing new people in. And so I've been asking, Lord, what can I do? And back in March, I felt God say, start meeting on a Saturday afternoon with invite others from church, come along who are able and want to, and eat together and do something fun that is the kids can join in on. So I'm looking after Thomas every Saturday, so that's kind of win-win for me. It's something I'm going to be doing anyway. I've got to eat, I've got to do something fun with Thomas. So if I can invite others in the in dimension from church to join and the out dimension who are not members of church to join in, that is how a missional community grows. And so so it started in very small form with Coralie's family and me and Thomas doing that for a few months. And my heart over the coming weeks and months is to grow and expand that. To grow a missional community, you need spiritual parents, you need a missional purpose, and you need predictable patterns. So this is like a little embryo thing. So me, Coralie, and anyone, Karen's been along a few times, we would be spiritual parents. The predictable pattern is it's every Saturday afternoon. And the purpose is to, so we've ate at McDonald's a lot, but we don't have to eat there. Some people don't like eating McDonald's. But we eat together, and then we either go a park, we go biking, cycling, we've done transport museum, we've done canoeing, and those are the things that come to mind. But we're in a routine now. And it really encouraged me when I took Thomas up to Yorkshire for a Kairos Connection Order of Mission 2 days. I bribed him to go by saying I'd take him to his favourite park on the Saturday afternoon because he's originally from up there. But when it came to Saturday morning, he said, are we going to play with Aaron and Kane this afternoon? And I said, well, we're up in Yorkshire. I was going to take you to this park. He said, well, actually, I'd rather play with Aaron and Kane. So I messaged Coralie. And sure enough, they were free about 3:30. So we didn't go to the park. We did some outreach in Sheffield on the Saturday morning and then drove back. And then we met up with. So that's a good influence for Thomas. He's making Christian friends. He's growing. He's developing close friendships more than he could if he just met people here on a Sunday morning. And we need to pray because he's got a family at his school that we know that want to invite them to start coming along. Coralie's got. Has invited some of the boys' friends to come and join us, and I've had conversations with some other adults in the church about perhaps inviting one of their friends to meet us. So we're going to keep doing that. So I invite you to pray about whether you could join in. You know, if you are older and you don't like running around on park play equipment, then you can still come along and just chat to the other adults there, okay? But this is just something I felt God's put on my heart too, because we've learned a lot of the theory of missional community. Doing the Gospel Primer course, listening to Cesar Kalinowski's teaching materials, but I felt that we've not really been doers of the word, and this is a key thing. So, and my goal over the summer is to try and introduce the story of God
That's Saturday afternoon. So we go through the story of the Bible, and there is a kid-friendly version of it with lots of Q&A opportunities. So next Saturday, we're going to meet at lunchtime. So anyone who wants to meet at lunchtime, if you don't like McDonald's, I'm open to suggestions if you're free to meet up. But we will meet next Saturday lunchtime. So if you want to join in, just message me and we'll sort things out. So that's a third thing, missional community. And over the summer, we booked 87 up till the end of school term. But once the school holidays start, it's an opportunity for us to meet together in homes or parks. So ask yourself this question and pray about this. Could you host a barbecue or organise a picnic in a park to which we can all invite our people of peace? If it's in your home, could you invite neighbours, your children's school friends, work colleagues, relatives to come along, as well as folks from church? Because that's how often disciples are made. Conversations, informal conversations, are really where people connect spiritually. Perhaps before they're willing to come along to a service like this and listen to me or any of you that are teaching on a Sunday meeting. So just have some conversations with me or the other leaders about this, because we need to we'd like to plan what we're doing during the school summer holidays. Another barrier to healthy growth for us as a church is the parable of the sower, where Jesus said, "The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things are like weeds that come into our hearts and choke out God's word." And I definitely feel that this has been what's happened to me to an extent over this last 9 months or so. The cares of this world, the things that the changes to my routines, the extra responsibilities that I've been having to take on in our family, have choked God's word out from my heart. And we know that we should seek first God's kingdom. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul?" And over the last few weeks, I have met some Christians who are not in this church, but I've kind of observed and think, well, actually, what's happening here is they're seeking first their own financial success, and I can see that really God is taking a second role to that. And it's sad to see that happen. I don't want that to happen in my heart. I don't want that to happen in your heart. And it's interesting that we had an invitation from the other Kairos Connection churches to have a two-week season of prayer and fasting in July. And there are actually seven churches locally in the Kairos Connection network. And this was a prophetic word that was given a few weeks ago for these seven churches. I'm just going to share it with us. This person, who has a prophetic ministry, saw an oppressive spirit related to the occult inflicting spiritual darkness over Coventry and Warwickshire. And it must be broken in order to open up the fields for harvest. And this person saw seven people, which he thought represented these seven churches, who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, making them unfruitful. And he saw them trapped in coils. And the word from the Lord was, "The victory is won. Jesus said, now take my hand and walk into the victory." And the call is for the seven churches to break seven restraints and reach seven areas of influence in this area, breaking strongholds and releasing the harvest of people to come into God's kingdom. And this is a season of preparation. So the purpose of fasting and praying for a couple of weeks in July, and the invitation is to do this together as seven churches, each church doing their own fasting and prayer, but we're doing it at the same time. The preparation is for unity, love, infrastructure, communication and dialogue. And I think this fits in well. Obviously, we're praying about Eden, we're praying about Tree of Life. Kairos Connection is another way that we could perhaps do partnership and get help. So we've been invited, the churches have been invited to pray over seven areas of influence in our society. Number one, family. Number two, the church. Number three, education. Number three, government or politics. Number four, the media. Number five, or six, arts and entertainment and sports. And number seven, business, science, technology. I'm not too fussed personally which of those seven areas we go for, but I feel it would be good to do that between the 7th and 20th of July. So we can talk more about that. So, It's just before 12:30. So what I'd like to do, if I stop the recording, is...